As the last speaker for this first session, we have Marika Minucci from the Queen Mary University of London. She will be talking about the Maxwell scalar field system near spatial infinity. All right, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So I am Marika. I am a third year PhD student at Queen Mary University of London. First of all, I would like to thank to the organizer for giving me the opportunity to present my work today. Today's talk is mostly based on a project which is a joint work with my supervisor. And this project is aimed to the study of the asymptotic expansion of the Maxwell scalar field system near spatial infinity. The real aim of this work is to understand how the non-linearities of the system affect the regularity of the solution and the polyhomogeneous expansions and null infinity, and in particular, the critical sets. So the outline of the talk is the following. I will briefly introduce the fluid reconstruction of the cylinder at spatial infinity. This will mean that I will introduce the standard representation of spatial infinity. And then we'll move on to the description of the F gauge and to briefly introduce the structure of this conformal setting. Then I will talk about the Maxwell scalar field system. More precisely, I will introduce our construction of the Maxwell scalar field system in spinners. This will mean that I will introduce a conformal transformation to conformally embed this equation into the previous stated cylinder. Then there will be a spinorial formulation and eventually a space spinor decomposition to exploit the property of the equation, and will be introduced the Neumann-Perron's frame. But the real core of this talk is really given by the expansion near spatial infinity. More precisely, I will discuss about how, what is the behavior of the solution to the decouple equation, and then we'll describe the decouple case. So what is the standard representation of spatial infinity? So given the Minkowski metric, we have the then, if this domain D is the this is the complement of the null cone via the origin. And so in this description, the spatial infinity is contained in this domain. So given a conformal transformation, in this conformal representation, we have the spatial infinity correspond to the origin of the domain D. And then the asymptotic region of the Minkowski spacetime is contained into the region D. Now, what about the Friedrich gauge? So we introduce a time coordinate tau via the following relation, so that the conformal representation that contains the cylinder at spatial infinity is obtained considering a rescaled metric. So if we now take the cylinder, we take a longitudinal sections of it, what we have is what is shown in the picture. So I plus and I minus correspond to the critical set where the cylinder meets spatial infinity, and I zero correspond to the intersection between the cylinder and an initial hypersurface. In this setting, we introduce the Maxwell scalar field system. What is a Maxwell scalar field system? Is given by the Maxwell equation coupled with a conformal invariant wave equation, and the coupling is realized by means of the covariant derivative. Now, what we first do is to use a conformal transformation to write down all the equations in terms of unphysical quantities. And so we will work from now on in the unphysical space-time. Now, what we do is to then rephrase resulting equation in terms of the spinorial counterpart. So we'll introduce the Faraday tensor here and the Maxwell spinner so that the physical Maxwell equation are equivalent to this equation. Now, working with the system, so the study of the system can be reduced by using the generalized gauge condition, Lorentz gauge condition to a system of a wave equation. To fortly exploit the property of the system, we introduce a space spin or decomposition by defining tau AA prime, which is the spinorial counterpart of a time-like vector tau, which has the following properties. So once we get the space spin or decomposed equation, what we introduce is the Neumann-Perros frame, which is a frame adapted to the cylinder. Now, all this construction is really meant to the aim of studying a system of ordinary differential equations. In particular, what we have after all this manipulation is a set of equations here from A prime to prime, where the black box operator is called the, we will define as the F reduced wave operator here. And so what we want to do here is to introduce a type of asymptotic expansion that has been previously introduced by Friedrich in the context of the conformal isofield equation. And this type of formulation really exploits the fact that the cylinder at infinity is a total characteristic of the Maxwell scalar free system. This means that if we evaluate this set of equations on the cylinder, we have a set of intrinsic equations, which are really transport equations. And so in this way, we can use this property to construct some jets, which are defined as follows. They encode the information related to the regularities of the solution, and in particular, the relation between the properties of the initial data prescribed on initial hypersurface and the radiative property of the solution at null infinity. So once then when we specialize this equation to the cylinder, we define this black triangle here, which is the operator stated as follows. Now, we will move on the study of the decoupled case. The decoupled case means that the charge parameter is set equal to zero, and so the previous set of equation reduced to the following equation. Now, this equation, once evaluated on the cylinder, can be summarized as three model equation, A, B, C. Here at this point, what we do is to then prescribe asymptotic expansions of the quantity zeta. So we have these three different zeta for the three model equations, where capital Y are the harmonic and spherical harmonics. With this given answers, the previous set of equation reduces to a set of ordinary differential equations. What we notice is that we have really two equations, because the solution to equation B is related to the solution to equation C via a time transformation. So that then what we've done is to analyze the solution to this equation by using the properties of Jacobi polynomials. And what we've seen is that since the behavior of the solution depends on the parameter L, we find out that for L between 0 and p minus 1, we have that the solution behaves in the following way, where the p are really the Jacobi polynomials, and a, b, c up to f are constant that can be expressed in terms of the initial conditions. So for this value of L, we have a polynomial behavior of the solution. But what happens when L is equal to P? When L is equal to P, we study the first equation. We have that the solution has the following form. The cost of integration C2 gives rise to a logarithmic divergence. So what we find out is that there's a way to construct initial data, to fit the initial data so that we can preclude this logarithmic divergence by just setting the initial data for the derivative of zeta to be time symmetric. So then we have a logarithmic divergence that can be somehow cured by fixing the initial data. By proceeding in the same way with the other two equations, B and C, we get a similar behavior of the solution. What happens in this case is that for C4 and C6, to be vanishing integration constant, and for them not to give rise to a logarithmic behavior, to prescribe the first two conditions is not enough. What we need is, in the first case, so an extra condition, which is the following. And in this case, since this solution is related to the solution to the other equation by time transformation, what we have here is a similar condition to somehow cure the logarithmic behavior of the logarithmic divergence of equation C. So in the end, we can summarize the behavior of the solution to this system with the following proposition. So we have the given a jet, we have the element of the jet at polynomial dependence in tau for harmonic sector for L between 0 and p minus 1, and they extend analytically through the critical points, the critical set.
And then 3 minutes.
Oh, yes. Okay. So generically, we have that the solution logarithmic singularity at t equal to plus and minus one, and that this divergence can be cured by fine-tuning the initial data. Now, when considering the coupling case, this coupling case means that we set q different than zero, and then we start by studying the jet for p equal to zero, so the p zero order, the p equal to zero order transport equation. This equation, once evaluated on the cylinder, can give this set of equation. This equation can be decoupled, and the solution can be known explicitly. Then we have the following lemma here about unique solution to the set of equation. And this lemma is fundamental because it will be used to construct the jet, the higher order jet, so for p greater or equal than one. In fact, by studying greater than one transport equation, we have that then once we know the jet in the previous lemma, we have that the elements of the jet satisfy on the cylinder the set of equation. On the right-hand side, we have the source term. The source term are in this form because of the coupling, the cubic coupling between the Maxwell field and the scalar field. So once we study these equations, this equation can be reduced to this two model equation. Again, using asymptotic expansions, we have, then the set corresponds to the five equation. Because of the nonlinearities, what happened here that we cannot use the same recipe used before to cure, to study the solution. What we've done there is to use a resorted Frobenius method to study the properties of the equation at the critical sets. This equation corresponds to, can be described in terms of one model equation. And then what we do is to look for, we use this ansatz here. So we look for a power series solution of this form. We replace this ansatz into the equation, and then we have the initial equation here. Once we find the solution to the initial equation, we have the recurrence relation between the coefficients. What happens is that for the roots r1 equal to zero, they give rise to no valid series solution. So we have to look for a second solution of this form. The solution, when it's replaced into the equation, will give rise to a proper and to a valid series solution where the coefficient, all the coefficient mk and gk depends, are expressed in terms of the coefficient m0. So we have a free coefficient, which is m0. So we can summarize the behavior in saying with the following proposition that says that the general solution has one solution, which is analytic for tau between minus one and one, and so even at the critical set, and one solution which is analytic for tau into between minus one and one, so avoiding the sets, and as logarithmic singularity. So in the end, we have our main theorem. It said that for generic data, the Maxwell scalar field system, which have finite energy and are analytic around I, the solution to the transport equation develop logarithmic singularity at the critical points. So what we really want to stress here, so the main observation, then this is my conclusion, is that what we find out is that the couple case give rise, presents a more singular behavior than what we would expect by studying the linear equations. And this is really due to the cubic coupling between in the source term between the Maxwell and the scalar field system at the scalar field. So what we wanted to do with the study is to create to have a good toy model to study with the same technique the Einstein equation. But what we found out is that we have a more singular behavior in the nonlinear equation of what will happen for the Einstein field equation, where the solution to the homogeneous transport equation be the same type of logarithmic singularities for both the linear and the nonlinear equation. So probably we need to look for a model which is a cubic, which is a quadratic coupling, which probably will give rise to a more to a better toy model, and probably a good example would be the Dirac scalar field. So this is my conclusion, and thank you for the attention. And sorry if I ran out of time.
Thank you for your talk. I think to take one comment away from Piotr, the font in on your slide was very, very, very small.
Sorry.
Now that we have that out of the way, are there any questions?
Thank you for taking care of my comments. I think it's very nice that you can get this actually explicit expression where you can pinpoint down the logarithmic terms, and that's better than expected. Now, if you put this on the Schwarzschild background, right, then this would be much a different story, right? Because then this would not work at all. Have you looked at that?
No, because we wanted to have. So at the beginning, we thought that this could be a very simple model. So we want to try to build the technique and see which are what could be the issues of using this technique in a very simple case, and try to then extend this technique to a more complicated case.
Right, yeah,
and
that's a very good idea, of course.
So what we wanted to do is to use this as a toy model for Einstein equation. In particular, what we wanted to do is, once we know how the solutions behave at the critical set, try to build some estimates there, and then to extend this technique to use this technique to study the Einstein equation. But what we found out is that with this problem arising from the coupling, probably it's not the best toy model. So what we wanted to do is to then apply this technique to a Dirac scalar field system where the coupling is quadratic. And so probably that could be a more suitable toy model for the Einstein field equation. And probably most of the things that we've done up to now can be completely recovered, apart from probably the nonlinear case, or the couple case where the equation probably could be different. So yeah, no, we didn't look at that because we were looking for the simplest example possible, and then to go by steps to a more complicated.
Yes, sure. So let me mention in this context that in the beautiful paper by Hinz and Vasi, they have a way of handling the intersection of the Friedrich I with Cry using a blow-up technique, where they introduce some kind of angular coordinates near this point where these hypersurfaces meet. And then they have a powerful way of analyzing this through transport equations on this blow-up point. So I think that's a technique which is likely to be very promising in this context. So,
okay. Are there any other questions here in the room? No. Are there any questions online? Okay, in that case, let's thank the speaker again, and then